If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery. When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
All right, we're talking Real Housewives of Orange County, Episode 2, mm-hmm. Season 14, Southern Charm Finale, mm-hmm. Real Housewives of Potomac.
Right.
And interviews with who?
Shannon Bedore from Real Housewives of Orange County and Steve from Faces by Bravo.
If you guys don't follow that Instagram account, you have to. It's hilarious. He's been doing these incredible face swaps with the wives and the house husbands. The things of nightmares, really.
Right. I mean, that's a good way to kick off OC, I feel like, because the house husband I want to talk about is Shane.
Oh, okay. Yes. Let's get right into that.
Yeah.
I think my heart is going to keep breaking a little bit for Emily every episode this season.
I just don't understand how someone like Shane can have lived through the backlash he got last season. Look at Joao from Below Deck Med.
Right.
There's someone who watched himself and learned and kind of corrected his mistakes. Shane's still a dick.
Yeah. The same thing, I think, with Carrie Duber's husband, Mark.
Right.
I remember the first season he was around, he kind of wasn't very nice to her, really did not read well to the audience. And then I think the next season he came back, there was a softer side to him.
Right. Like maybe he saw for himself, oh, like I shouldn't talk to my wife like that. Shane has not learned that lesson.
She was hosting a party for his parents.
Right.
And he felt, oh, I'm being bombarded by all these calls and all these things.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, I'm getting like hounded by everyone. This is getting to be a degree of harassment. I mean, it's like no one respects the fact that I say no.
Well, it is sort of one of those events that you might want to be around for.
Yeah.
It's right around Valentine's Day. Like, you have to step back from studying once in a while.
Yes.
And, like, not completely abandon the life that you've already set up for yourself.
And also, like, as she said, I deserve a little more respect than that. Absolutely.
Maybe there's a little foreshadowing. She was like, I'm not sure what's going to happen if he doesn't pass the bar. We haven't talked about that. Remember, we kind of had that discussion last week.
Yeah.
What is plan B? What is right. The backup if you fail a third time?
Yeah.
And Emily kind of made it clear that there wasn't one.
Yeah.
So Shane, all of this attitude and all of this studying.
Better pay off.
This better pay off because Emily is really going through it and she's doing it for you.
Right.
Well, we got Dr. Deb.
Oh my God, I love Dr. Deb. First of all, that she doesn't say, oh my God, she says, oh my goddess.
Well, she's very in touch. Remember, she speaks with
she
angels.
She went to Burning Man, for God's sakes.
She, I
goddess's
think,
sake, God.
For goddess's sake. I think she is the epitome of someone who goes to Burning Man and never really comes back. Because do you know people who have gone?
Yes. Okay. I mean, I've never been.
Me neither.
But yeah, something happens there. It's like Joshua Tree, I guess.
I do have friends who have been going to Burning Man for a really long time, and other friends who have just recently, within the last couple of years, gotten into it. And everyone does speak about it in a way that is like, it will change you forever. It's a whole other way of living. It's a whole other way of just thinking. And you really are totally removed from the typical structure of society and all of that for at least a full week. But I think you got to come back to the real world at some point.
Not right? Dr. Deb.
I loved everything about her look. Because it really was like, I don't give a fuck anymore.
Right.
Like it's
very Betsy Johnson, I thought. Just yes. The whole vibe.
Yes. And I don't know if you follow Batty Winkle on Instagram. No. But Sarah's nodding her head. She knows. Batty Winkle is like an older woman, and she has just sort of embraced this new, exciting, colorful, over-the-top, image that she presents now. So it's a lot of tie-dye and tight clothes and pink leather, and she just like owns it. And I think we're getting that from Dr. Deb.
I really enjoy Bronwyn's like relationship with her husband. Mm-hmm. The fact that they have a whole condo that's basically just for f***ing. Like, yeah. That's amazing.
Right. He was like, I didn't even know there was furniture in here. And she's like, there is, honey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate that. I think there's no other way that they could survive with that many children if right. They didn't have a place to go that was just their own.
Yeah.
A love shack, if you will.
A love shack.
Do you think a lot of those 7 children were conceived in that?
Maybe
condo?
Not that one, probably the one they had in Miami.
Oh, right. That's true. Yeah. Because a lot of them came from that time.
That era of lives. The relationship.
It also, speaking of Bronwyn and Dr. Deb, makes a little bit of sense in terms of why Bronwyn has such a big family and why she wanted so many kids, just the way she talked about her upbringing with Dr. Deb. It was a little...
Yeah, she's alone a lot.
Yeah, very kind of unconventional. You know, it wasn't sort of the traditional mom, dad, kids. So, I mean, she went for it.
Yeah.
And had 7 of them. Speaking of children, Shannon's daughter, Sophie, is really starting to come into her own. She's getting her own interviews. She's sharing interviews with Shannon, which I really appreciate.
Yeah.
I think next we need Jolie Kelly shared interview.
Oh my God. Well, let's talk about Jolie.
Okay.
I really feel like seeing Jolie explain that she had to make her Instagram private because she was getting direct messages. And she read one of them and it was brutal.
People are DMing me, calling you a cokehead. So that's why I'm private. But whatever.
Like that explains more so Kelly's anger toward Vicky. Oh, like, it's not just about Kelly.
Definitely. We talk about it all the time. Whenever the kids get involved, that's when it crosses the line for so many of the women. And this is a perfect example of that because Jolie really shouldn't have to face that. No child should have to face any kind of online bullying. But especially when these are accusations that someone else made against her mom, Jolie shouldn't have to be fielding those things.
Right.
And like, who is it that's messaging Jolie? Are these other kids that she goes to school with who have heard their parents talking?
I think it's fans.
Are these adult women who, or men, who knows, who are sliding into Jolie's DMs?
I think so. Like, just the way that DM sounded, it very much sounded like just someone who watches the show and is like, I feel sorry for you. That's your mom.
That's so horrible to think that they would actively seek out a child's Instagram. She needs a Finsta. That's what the kids do these days. Finstagram.
It's like a fake Insta, right?
It's a fake Insta.
Yeah. The Kardashians do it.
Do you know their Finstas?
No, I'm not in the inner circle. Thanks for reminding me.
We're putting the call out now. If you know of any celebrity Finstas, we need them.
ASAP. So I need to talk about, like, it's the Animoji, right? Is that what you call it?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So I was introduced to the Animoji by my friend Crystal recently. I don't know, like 6 months ago. It is the best thing ever.
It's so fun.
It's so fun to do. To see that it is like now the center of this feud between Kelly and Vicky is very hilarious. But also, yikes, that message.
You want to f*** with me? You little pig of a f***ing bitch. That's exactly what's going to happen to you. Don't can text me, don't write me, you block me, I can do whatever you want, you look like
you want.
So, ha, ha, ha,
It's kind of funny. I'm sorry. It's not nice, but it's kind of funny.
No, the beginning is like, whoa.
It's definitely like funny to think such a cute and fun device, you know, like an animoji would be used in such a horrible way by like adult women.
Right.
But it really does entertain me.
I know.
Kelly was saying that was in response to a message Vicky had already sent her. And Kelly was like, I didn't feel like typing anything out. So I just selected the pig. Which
she
was...
said, I didn't feel like giving a dissertation on why she's an asshole.
Right. Okay. That was the exact. Yes, exactly. So then it, rather than typing it all out, she selected the pig very strategically.
Oh, yes.
And then sent that response to Vicky. And here we are now.
Here we are.
Well, I think Tamara's party was big because not only is it the first time we're getting all six of the women in one place finally, but we also get Vicky
right
making her first appearance of the season.
Because, I mean, you know, there's been a ton of curiosity around the fact that Vicky wasn't coming back as a full housewife. What did that mean for the show? But as Shannon says in her interview, she was like, it doesn't feel like anything's changed. Vicky was around the whole time.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to get a lot of Vicky this season.
Well, and even just the impact that she had in this episode.
Right.
I mean, she was basically kind of chasing Kelly around the party at first, and Kelly was just dodging her left and right.
Everyone kind of was.
Everyone seemed to be, right? That wasn't just like a weird coincidence.
I don't think so.
Everyone's like, I have to pee. Oh, I'm going to go and run inside. Oh, yeah. I need to do this. I was like, oh, gosh.
Kelly got upset because she feels like Shannon and Tamara aren't taking a side on this.
Yeah.
Whose side are you on?
Honestly, I'm on Kelly's side, but I do feel like Vicky has remorse and wants to make it better, but also is really holding on to some anger with Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I really appreciated the moment with Tamara and Shannon trying to whisper, like, off to the side. Oh, they were just like, what can I do? What can I do? Like,
they
were,
what can I do?
What can I do?
What can I do?
What can I do?
They were trying to, like, will Vicky into just saying those simple words, because I think that might have helped the situation. But also, I think Kelly just didn't want to speak to Vicky.
I also just think at the end of the day, they don't really care who's right or wrong, because yeah, they're not in the hot seat,
right,
you know?
Right.
They're just enjoying the party.
I mean, what do you think? Whose side are you on?
I think that seeing the whole Jolie thing definitely gave more clarity to where Kelly is coming from.
Yeah.
If there's a cocaine accusation, I want to hear about it.
Right. Well, and
I mean, is that wrong?
Well, that's the thing is, it's Kelly is now deny, deny, deny. I've never done that. I don't do that. That's a lie. Vicky's not really taking that back and clarifying that, oh, I made that up or I said that. I think she's going to hold on to that for a little bit longer because she believes.
Well, she said in this episode, I know people who did it with her.
Right. So I don't know if we'll have resolution between the two of them quite yet, because I don't think Vicky's going to take back what she said and Kelly is going to keep denying it.
I'm just on the side of I like the arguing.
Yeah. I mean, somebody's got to be fighting.
Somebody's got to do it.
And if Vicky needs to come barrel-assing into the party and start it herself, good on you.
All right, so this week I spoke with Shannon Bedore about season 14 of Real Housewives of Orange County. She talked about her new boyfriend, John, who was in the room, her thoughts on Kelly Dodd and Vicky Gunvalson's argument, plus what she's learned in the last six seasons of the show. Plus, she told me which cast member she's not talking to right now. Let's take a listen. Shannon Storms Bedore. I have been waiting for this moment.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
And I have to tell listeners because they can't see, but your new boyfriend is in the room. You're welcome to jump on a mic if you'd like.
Okay. She's like, no, thank you.
So how's that going?
It's going great.
How long have you guys been dating?
We've been dating just for a couple months, but yeah. I've never met anyone like John, and he's I have a comfort with him instant, and I have a great connection with him, and he's a very kind person.
Is it odd because now we're like in the premiere and you're with Babe? Is it weird to be watching an old flame with a new one?
Well, in my dating life, I made it very clear to anyone that I was dating that I was not interested in a serious relationship. So I don't have a boyfriend. I haven't had one since my divorce.
Mm.
So Babe was just one person that I dated.
Got it. We are definitely getting fun Shannon back this season. She's in full force.
Yep. Times 10.
What do you think was like the turning point for you?
Well, I mean, let's be clear. I've had 5 years that I think have been kind of tough. Like, can it ever turn around? So it's time. I don't know. I mean, I reached a point where, you know, I realize I can stand on my own 2 feet, that I can be an independent person, that I can support myself. And, you know, the last little bit that I had to take care of was the weight. And I would kind of go lose half of it, and then I would go back up again. And it was just this constant roller coaster. And I woke up one day and I said, you got to just make the commitment. This is ridiculous. So I did.
Yeah. And I really have been enjoying, just even in this first episode, watching your relationship with your daughters, because I feel like you guys are so friendly. Like, you're kind of starting a new chapter together almost.
Right, right. And it's crazy to see them, how much they've grown since they started on the show. But no, they're great. And, you know, we're all doing well. So,
yeah. And it seems like you and Bronwyn had an instant connection, which was nice to see.
Rare.
Yeah.
Rare. Now, I was thinking about it. There's not one new gal that I've liked when they first come on. Not one.
So now, looking back, was your gut instinct correct?
With Bronwyn, absolutely.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
She is a great person to be cast on the show. She is complete tons of fun. But she's authentic and honest, too. So, you know, she puts it out there, whether it's good or bad. And I feel as though I do that as well. And so we just had an instant connection.
Yeah. I have to know, what was your reaction when you found out Vicky wasn't coming back as a full housewife?
Well, in my eyes, Vicky's the OG. So she's always going to be a part of the show. That being said, I filmed with her all season. I mean, she is involved in one of the biggest pieces of drama all season. I mean, she's, as far as I'm concerned, she's on the show all the time. A lot of Trace Amiga's antics too this season. Really fun.
Were you surprised at all that both Emily and Gina came back this season?
No, I didn't know them very well, but this season you'll see that I grow a lot closer to Gina.
Right. Yeah, no, I have heard some teases, and it sounds like you guys really go there in terms of, like, becoming friends.
Right, absolutely. I mean, we have a lot of things that we've gone through that are quite similar, so that's kind of helped us. Emily, no, there's no change there.
Ooh, okay. Oh. Well, can't win them all.
No.
Speaking of moms, we want to chat about Vicky and Kelly and about your reaction when it came to all the allegations Vicky has made against Kelly.
Okay. I say over and over this season that when you go for that real low blow, you cause long-term damage. So it's hard for people to get over that. So both sides need to stop being so cruel and going so low. Because when you put things out there in the universe that are as nasty, that both of them have done, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's equal. People can't recover from it. And so how can you try and repair a friendship?
Have you felt very caught in the middle between Kelly and Vicky?
There were times when Kelly would say, because we started out the season very friendly because we spent a lot of time off camera going through, she was very, very helpful going through the divorce and spending time with me. And I didn't know a lot of people to go out with. And so I spent a lot of time with her. I don't want any more nasty in my life. And so I just tried to point that out to everybody.
Yeah. I was also curious because, you know, I was at the reunion last season and you and Tamara had kind of a rough season. And that day was really rough.
For me, yeah, it was.
But then I felt like there were amends made, and obviously we see you guys super strong at the beginning of this season. Mm-hmm. What was that journey like from end of reunion to now?
Well, you know, there were certain revelations that were actually made during the reunion. And Tamara even said to me, I saw the light bulb go off in your head. So, you know, we have been friends for so long and we talk so many times. Like John and I were laughing last night. It was like 13 messages within 2 minutes between Vicky, Tamara and I. It's just we're always in communication with each other. So, you know, she's almost like a sister and family, and there are ups and downs. But even this season, we have a little blip. But you see, we're able to recover because we know how important we are in each other's lives.
Yeah. Is there anyone aside from Emily that maybe you're not texting as much these
Kelly
days?
Kelly Dodd.
Hmm.
Nope.
What can you tell us about that?
You know, it's all I can say is I think it's a shame. It's a shame what has happened to our friendship, because I really felt as though we were developing a real friendship. A lot of things said behind my back, but she did something that she got involved in something that she should have been involved in. That's very, very serious. And so it's something that I don't know that I can recover from.
Yeah. I mean, this is your fifth season now.
Six.
Six.
Oh, it's six.
Oh, as a Real Housewife. What have been like your biggest takeaways during this time? Like, what have you learned about yourself?
Well, you know, it was eye-opening to start it off. I actually joined the show because I thought my husband would watch it and spend more time with me. Just, and I learned so much about myself. But I think that on a positive note, I know that I'm a strong person. You know, I think that I've been tested, and I've been tested publicly, and I think I've come through it okay. I've had a lot of bumps in the road, but 6 years later, I can say all is good and I'm happy. And had I maybe not gone through all those struggles, I wouldn't be where I am today. So I'm grateful.
Do you think it's kind of inevitable for anyone else going through a divorce with kids that they would have to go through such a hard time? Or is there anything you've learned along the way that you would say to someone out there who's like, how can I help make things easier for myself?
Right. You know, it always depends on everyone's different factual situation. But for me, I'm glad that I tried to fight for my family, because I can look at myself in the mirror and know I didn't just toss it in the trash. I tried to do what I could. So, but that being said, when you feel as though you are at your worst, you can pick yourself up. You can do whatever you want to accomplish. No just means you have to work harder. I say that all the time. If doors are shut, you can open them. You just got to figure out a way and work a little bit harder.
Yeah. How's your business going?
It's going well. So I'm still selling items on QVC, but I'm going to launch a website in about a month, and we're going to sell individual and family style meals, and they're very good, and so I'm excited about that.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Still friends with Jeff Lewis these days?
You know, we haven't spent as much time. He's so busy with his radio show, and I've been busy with kids and summer, but we do talk from time to time. He's involved in a bit of the drama this season and a storyline.
I've heard.
Yeah. No. Thanks, Jeff. That's my friend.
When he and Gage split up, did you have to choose?
You know what? It's very strange. I mean, I've spoke to both, communicated with both, but very briefly. You know, it's just it's such a shame, because I really care about both of those. And Jenny too. I mean, I care about all of them.
Yeah. Do you think there's any chance of?
I have no idea. I really don't, because I don't know what all the circumstances are right now. But I
got it.
I certainly hope, especially for their daughter's sake.
Yeah. You know? All right. If you had to sum up this season in one phrase, one sentence.
Okay. I'm going to say adjectives. Crazy fun, crazy drama. So I think that you can enjoy a show and be entertained when you see fun. And you will see a lot of that, like the little antics when we're having a good time. But also there is some nastiness. If you like that crazy drama, it's there. Big time. Big time.
And my most important question, will we see Dr. Moon this season?
No.
Ugh.
We're going to, but next year. I still go. I saw him the day before I came here. He's still doing it.
Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Great speaking with you.
Southern Charm finale.
Oh, it delivered. It delivered good.
It really did. Okay, so the first thing I wanted to say was, this kind of backstory that we get between Shep and Madison about how at one point he was sort of into her.
Yeah.
She kind of maybe didn't reject him, but like didn't pursue it any further.
Yeah.
Is this all adding up to some kind of male fragility thing with Shep? Is he just clinging on to the fact that she shut him down and that's why he's so angry with her?
Maybe.
I just don't see it any other way.
It's very possible, but it could just be that he feels like this person has taken away his fun friend.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that happens a lot too when people are like, oh, you don't want to come out with me because your girlfriend, like, and then it's the girlfriend's fault.
Right. Well, yeah, I think he definitely feels that and doesn't use the correct words to express that.
Oh, when he just calls her white trash, you mean?
Yeah, just all of the things that Shep has generally said don't seem to add up. He doesn't really say, I think, what he actually feels because he doesn't have the right words to express it. What part of crashing a party where you plan to harass the host sounds like a good idea to Ashley?
And by herself. That's the part that I can't relate to. I mean, well, I guess I've never had such an issue with someone that I would storm a party to confront them.
Yeah.
But if I did, I'd bring someone with me.
Well, she did have someone with her, that brunette woman, who right at the end, Ashley was like, should I call 911? I'm going to call 911. Should I do that? And her friend just kind of looks.
Was that her friend?
And like, I don't know who that was, but that woman was like horrified. So I think if I were Ashley's friend and I witnessed that, I would also be just speechless.
Right.
Because that woman had nothing to say. But, okay, I want to talk about the getting ready.
Right. Okay. Because this is something that is very important to me, and that's loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Danny is getting ready at Catherine's house and finds out that Catherine and her new boyfriend are supposed to go to the party with Austin and Madison. And she's like, what the hell? He told his girlfriend this rumor about me. You as my best friend should be not even hanging out with him.
Yeah.
And I like that Catherine recognized it. Like, she didn't really think about it in those terms. And as soon as she did, she's like, I'm telling him I'm not going.
Right.
That's a real friend.
It really is. She exhibited such maturity.
Austin came up to me and he was like, we should just go together. And I was like, okay. I just went with it. I don't know. But now I see you f*** up. All right. I'm not going to go with him. I just texted him.
That's a real friend.
You shouldn't have to do that, Catherine.
But I want to, though. Y'all are more important to me. You know what I mean?
I think I've said it so many times already. We've seen so much growth from Catherine, and I'm really proud to see her do that. And it just, after everything Danny has been through, she does need the support of her closest friends. So Catherine to step up and be like, I messed up. I'm not going to go with them. You're my priority. It's huge.
What did you think about Craig and Shep taking the two girls from that threesome video with Austin?
Completely immature, reckless.
Terrible.
No tact whatsoever. And for Shep to be like, oh, well, you know, it's a girl I hook up with, whatever. I know her. We've known each other for 3 years. That's not why you invited her. You invited her for a very specific reason, and it was to hurt Austin and Madison and embarrass them in front of everyone.
And I will say, I agreed with Madison when she said to Austin, your reaction is not strong enough right now. Like, you should be incensed that this video that embarrassed you in front of so many people, and they're exploiting that, and these are supposed to be your friends?
Right.
That's f***ed up.
And Shep was way more calculated and knew what he was doing. Craig just went along with it, and then all of a sudden at the party was like, yeah, I guess that wasn't a great idea. You knew it wasn't a great idea going into it, Craig.
I felt the same way, where I was like, no. You either take full responsibility, because you can't know what you were doing, but then suddenly not know what you were doing.
Yeah.
You knew what you were doing.
I love when Austin said, Craig, can you fuck off, please?
Craig, can you fuck off, please?
I was like, yes. And then he just like stood up from the table and walked away.
Just Craig's reaction in that moment was so good.
What did you think of the conversation that Madison and Shep ended up having? Do you think it got them anywhere?
No.
I mean, I think it might even be worse now.
The look in both of their eyes was just such hate.
Yeah. And Madison said it. She was like, we have hate for each other. And that's obvious. I did feel like Madison expressed everything she needed to and should have in that moment. She apologized. She knew she hurt people. She was very straightforward with Shep. But I think he's just so closed off to her. No matter what she says or does, it will never be enough for him.
I agree.
And I think it ties back into her rejecting him so long ago or whatever it was. There's something that he will never, ever forgive and forget about her. But to her point, if you want to be friends with Austin, which he's like, oh, I don't even know if I want to be. But if he wants to be friends with Austin, he's going to have to accept her at some point.
I also just can't get over what a saint Danny is. Because she was so furious with Madison and Austin for, you know, the whole rumor. And yet she went up to Madison and comforted her at the party. That was crazy.
That was crazy. It says a lot about who Danny is, though.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to see anyone hurt or embarrassed. And she knew, having just been very publicly embarrassed herself, she probably didn't want to see that for Madison, too. But she, I mean, give her an award.
Yeah.
Give her a hug and an award.
Humanitarian award.
Humanitarian of the year.
Yeah.
The actual humanitarian of the year, I think, goes to Mr. Kale for escorting Ashley out of the party.
Mr. Kale. Also, that look on Patricia's face when Ashley came up to her. It's this look that, like, when you really aren't sure what someone's about to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Ashley would scare me, too.
Yeah. Well, when she's outside, Ashley's like, well, it's not like I had a knife or a gun. Well, I'm like, well, you just said two different things you could have had. So maybe you were planning. I don't know. Like, that sounds. But it was just, it was so effortless how Patricia was just like, have you met my friend Mr. Kale? And then he just slowly escorts Ashley out.
Have you met Mr. Kale here?
No.
I mean, we've known that moment was coming for a long time. It was in the super tease for the season. But I did expect it to get a little bit more explosive.
I think Patricia was scared.
I do, too. I definitely think she was nervous, no doubt. You don't hire a Mr. Kale unless you think something could go very wrong. And it did.
And it did. I'm just so excited to see the reunion.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of unresolved issues, I think we're obviously going to have Austin versus Shep. Maybe a little bit still of the Madison-Danny accusation. You know that's going to come up, but it seems like maybe they've worked past that.
Well, and definitely there's going to be a lot of Shep and Madison.
Yeah.
And see, I always am curious about how Shep might course correct knowing how many fans are really into watching Madison this season.
Yeah, that's true. The only other beef I can think of is...
Oh, Catherine and Whitney, but he hasn't gone to reunions in a couple of seasons.
And they also kind of worked through it, too, at the party, it seemed like.
I mean, I don't know. She's a bigger person than I would be.
Yeah, he still didn't really own up to what he did wrong, but she kind of made the choice for both of them of being like, we're going to move on past this, like, I'm good. And I think having Hunter with her and being so in love, she's not going to hold on to that anymore. She doesn't need to. So good for her. Also, prediction, Catherine will be the best dressed at the reunion.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Do you ever feel like you're settling? For your foundation, that is. Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation doesn't settle into fine lines and wrinkles. With SPF 20 and moisturizing Pro Vitamin B5, this foundation not only provides medium coverage and a natural finish, but also protects and nourishes your skin. And the best part? The blurring sponge tip applicator makes application a breeze. Say goodbye to cakey, uneven foundation, and hello to a flawless, radiant complexion. Try our new foundation today and see the difference for yourself at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation.
Well, speaking of Patricia and her reaction, we have a clip from the Southern Charm After Show where she talks about Ashley arriving at the stag party, and she talks a little bit about why she ended her friendship with Ashley. So let's listen to that.
It was the end of the evening. I was getting ready to go, and Ashley came up the back stairs, and she came over and called my name. I thought, oh my God, what is she doing here? She wasn't invited. The nerve. Mr. Kale walked past me and he said, is this the one? I said, yep. And he escorted her out. I mean, how did I manipulate her? I made her create all of those insults. She's insane. She's a moron and she's insane. Once I saw how she treated Catherine at Dufusky Island, that was it. I had nothing more to do with her. I was probably the only person that was anyway kind to her all that season. I invited her to the ball. At that picnic, she told Whitney that she was gunning for me. Whitney warned me, as did other people. I guess this is when she thought I was the mastermind. I mean, as if I could, you know, make her say all those things to Catherine. People kept telling me she was coming after me. She was gunning for me. And I don't take those things lightly because I think, quite frankly, Ashley is an unstable person. And she seemed to be coming unhinged. So I didn't want any drama. I had no idea what she was capable of doing, and I wasn't going to take a chance, so I hired a bodyguard. She is the ultimate fame whore. If she could come in, crash a party, create a scene, I wasn't surprised. I really wasn't.
Okay, Real Housewives of Potomac, I feel really, really bad for Ashley.
Same.
So I don't know. I think I've told you this in the past, but my mom didn't know her dad.
Oh.
And within the last couple of years, we've done some research, found out more about him, and connected with that whole side of our family that we didn't know before. And for the first time, I think at this point, it was maybe like 3 years ago, she saw the first picture of him ever. And I was there, and it was like a huge moment for her to be like, oh my God, I have some closure now. I have eyes on him. Like, I know what he looked like. I'm around his family. And it really helped her kind of move on from some issues that she's just had in her life. And I sort of saw Ashley go through something similar, even though she kind of didn't really get the closure she was probably looking for.
Well, wait, I want to go back to your thing, though. Okay. So did your mom meet her dad?
No, he died. So he had died a couple years, like years ago, maybe like early 90s, mid 90s, which she found out in like the early days of the internet when you could like start searching for people. Yeah. And so she found a death certificate and knew that, but didn't really know much about his life and didn't know much about who he was. She knew his name, but she had never seen a picture. My grandmother wouldn't really talk about him. So this whole journey, you know, she found him through, I got her an Ancestry.com membership for Christmas a few years back. And then she did all of that research, found people, reached out to them on Facebook. And everyone in our, you know, family was very welcoming to say, yeah, come in, come meet up with us. We have pictures. We'll talk to you about it. We'll show you. So she wasn't really able to have, you know, a conversation or ask questions that have really, you know, are still going to haunt her no matter what. But she was able to get some amount of closure. And I guess, you know, maybe Ashley did too. Just knowing the way that her dad reacted, that might have been enough for her.
Yeah, to know, like, your dad is a prick.
Yeah. Like, he really just totally shut down.
Literally.
Literally.
Shut her out.
Shut her out.
Hi.
Oh, my God. There's your father.
This is your daughter, Ashley.
Hi. Will you please come speak to me? I want absolutely nothing from you except for you to just acknowledge me, please. that I exist, please.
But I think that might have been enough for her.
Yeah.
You know, she had made so many attempts in the past, whether it was just on Facebook, like just trying to reach out to him, form some kind of connection, just accept that you know each other exists.
Yeah.
But nothing from him.
Not okay.
I also appreciated her uncle being like, we should get off his property, like, now.
He was not supportive of this idea to begin
with. From the beginning, yeah.
He was like, I will go with you, but I don't think it's a good idea just knowing who your dad is. And, like, his, you know, his own sister seemed to feel that way, too.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm just getting a picture of this guy, and he doesn't seem like a good guy.
Right. Yeah. So is it even worth having any kind of relationship with him? Probably not.
Yeah.
Well, after that was all pretty tough to watch, we get some drama at
the house.
What do you call those things? The house. It's not a house warming.
Open house?
Open house. Open house party.
Yeah.
I can't even keep track of who's mad at who and why at this point.
And who's flipping what? A lot of house flipping.
There's a lot of house flipping. I'm not even sure. So it feels like we have Ashley's against everyone.
Well, except Monique.
Except Monique. But Monique and Candace are against each other.
Now they are, because Candace found out that Monique shared texts with Ashley.
Right. So now they have beef again. Giselle's kind of the one who brought it up and started the whole thing. So now Robin's kind of annoyed with Giselle because she's like, this is my open house. There's clients who might want to buy here. So can we stop having drama in the living room and scaring everyone away? Karen doesn't seem to be mad at anybody.
Right.
And nobody seems to be mad at Karen. So kind of at the end of it all, it's the Michael issue. It's the sharing of text messages. It's kind of the shady talking behind each other's back. But I don't really feel like Monique did anything wrong.
I don't either, actually.
I think Monique was just trying to clear her name for Ashley. To be like, look at these messages that Candace sent. She's the one being shady. I don't talk about you behind your back. I've never said anything negative about Michael or wished ill will on either one of you. But she was very quick to throw Candace under the bus.
Yeah, but Ashley was already mad at Candace. So.
Right. Right. So it's like, whatever. Who cares?
I think next week we get Robin expressing her anger with Giselle, which I'm interested to see.
Oh, yeah. And well, next week we also get the Cayman Islands trip.
Yes.
Which I've heard is pretty intense.
Oh, yeah?
There is something that happens with Katie that's really scary.
Oh, well, I mean, you see a hint of it in the next one.
Yeah. And I remember Karen coming into the office last year right after the Cayman Islands trip. And she was like, "Woo, if I could only tell you what went down." And I was like, girl, please do. But she didn't. She was quiet. She behaved.
We have to watch.
In this Real Housewives of Potomac After Show moment, Ashley Darby reacts to the soul-crushing moment when her dad slammed the door in her face. Be sure to head over to BravoTV.com on Sunday nights to watch the new Real Housewives of Potomac After Show videos. You'll be able to get all of the exclusive commentary every week. Let's take a listen.
I have been waiting to see my dad's face for over 30 years. I mean, I can't even tell you the scenarios that have played out in my head, the way that I envisioned it would ever happen, that I would meet my dad. I always thought maybe he would just come and surprise me and one day knock on the door and I'd open it and there he was. So I had all these hopes and all of these just like really strong desires to meet my dad. So when it actually happened where I really saw my dad for the first time, it was almost like an out-of-body experience because it felt like it was almost too good to be true.
Okay, sweetie.
Okay. Aren't you all okay?
Yeah, we're okay.
We're okay.
Hi.
Oh, my God. There's your father.
This is your daughter, Ashley.
Hi.
The fact that we were actually looking at each other and we had locked eyes and I saw that he was a real person in the flesh. Mm. Every question and every fantasy I'd ever had about having any sort of relationship with my dad, like almost like played out right then and there. And then when he, you know, closed the door on me, it hurt quite a bit. sorry, I don't want to cry, but it really did hurt me. And it was, it really affirmed to myself that I'm a strong woman, because I really didn't know how I was going to react if he didn't reciprocate wanting to have a relationship with me. And I surprised myself. I came out much stronger. So it sucked, it hurt, but I just, like, I grew a little bit more. He's not a monster, I don't think. He does have two young kids. So he obviously has the paternal instinct to some degree. He just didn't have it with me. Now, that rejection that he doesn't want it with me really hurts. But then at the same time, I'm like, well, maybe there really just is something about him. If he's able to give it to these two young, they're these beautiful little boys. If he can give it to them, he has the ability. It's just something about us. And at least they're getting the love from him that I didn't get to have. The fact that my mom was able to take that trip with me and put her own issues aside that she had with my dad really meant a lot to me, because I can only imagine how my mom feels. She was married to him. He left her with a baby. And yet my mom was strong enough and mature enough to still take that journey with me and to be supportive and to really put me first. She put all of her own feelings aside. Wow. And was able to just be present and with me for that moment.
That's a mom. That's it's a mom true. Right there.
I got the chance to interview Steve, who is the creator of the hilarious Faces by Bravo Instagram account. You know, the one that has been swapping housewives' faces with their house husbands. We spoke about what inspired him to make the account, which Bravo Lebs follow him, and his favorite Bravo shows. Plus, we play a game of Name That Roni Housewife, which he, not so shockingly, aces. Make sure to play along. Here's that interview. Guys, we are here with Steve from Faces by Bravo. Hello, how are you?
Hello, thanks for having me.
Of course, thank you for coming in. Okay, so tell us, when did you first become a Bravo fan?
First become a Bravo fan. Okay, so I watched Orange County and New York a little bit when it first came out. But what really tied me in was Teresa flipping the table.
Oh, God.
So then once I saw that, I had to go back. I had to catch up on everything. And then from then on, I've been addicted.
That's so funny, because my next question was, what was the moment you knew you were in love? And it was Teresa.
It was Teresa.
Prostitution whore.
It was amazing.
So what sparked the idea then to create the fan account?
So if anybody that knows me, all I do is speak Bravo. I mean, that is my daily language. So basically I was, when I first started out, it's kind of been an evolution, honestly. We started out looking at certain Bravo celebrities and just doing a chronological thing and then putting in notable moments for them. And then after a while I started throwing in memes, and then I started throwing in Bravo brackets, favorite housewife, best non-housewife show, best friend of the housewives, whatever. And it's just consistently grown since then.
Was there a particular post or something that you really knew it was gaining momentum and there were a lot of followers coming in?
So honestly, it's been very consistently growing, but I will say probably the most notable post was, I had this interesting theory about Beverly Hills before. Do you remember when Rinna and Erica Jane went live and said, oh, there's a cast member not.
Oh, we do.
Oh, yeah. So my theory was, what if she wasn't hiding? What if she was going to be demoted to a friend? They didn't want them to know. And she didn't want to, say that she was a friend. Posted that. Of course, everyone went crazy about that. And then Lisa Rinna posted a comment, said, bullshit. And E! Reposted it, and Us Weekly did an article on it. Really made it blow up.
Oh, my God. So that wasn't actually that long ago. I mean, mm-hmm. That was within the last, year or so.
Yeah, my one-year anniversary was end of June.
Oh, my God. Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
So I guess my next question was going to be, who was one of the first Bravo Lebs to maybe interact with you or reblog? So was it Lisa Rinna?
No. The first person to was Captain Sandy.
Oh, I love Captain Sandy.
And then I would say it was probably Sonia, Dorinda, or Rinna, one of them.
That makes sense. Yes. Sonia is very active.
Yes.
On the gram.
She is.
How many Bravo Lebs follow you?
I did make a list of probably a few weeks ago, and I think it was up to 30 or 40. Most of the housewives do. Mm-hmm. A couple Vanderpump Rules. Only Catherine from Southern Charm, I think. But a ton do.
Well, I saw a lot of comments just recently. You've done like the sort of husband face swaps, which are so amazing. And I don't know if you saw my comment, but I was like, I'm kind of into Denise and Aaron. Like, I'm into this look.
He looks beautiful.
He has such a beautiful face. He does. You can put it anywhere. And it looks fantastic.
And her luscious hair just like hanging over.
I saw a lot of the wives did comment and they were like, oh my God, this is so funny. LOL, whatever. Yes. Have you ever had the opposite reaction where someone from a show has gotten mad at what you've posted?
Carol blocked me, I think.
That's how you know.
Yeah.
You're like, you've made it.
Yeah, her and Vicky both, they did not appreciate me. But it's okay. I mean, I did post a picture of Adam Kenworthy whenever he was posing, like in his modeling days. I don't think they liked that.
Well, we liked that. That's all that really matters. So what show in particular do you think is the easiest to like create content for? Like, what's the best one to meme?
Real Housewives of New York. Let's be honest. Those women are amazing.
Yeah.
They are the best TV. Nobody compares. I mean, well, actually, I will say Potomac is like,
oh my God, yes.
Reaching, like, they're almost going to beat New York for me, but New York just has like my heart. So.
Right. Well, I mean, Potomac is a little bit newer, so it's like, that makes a lot of sense because I feel like this season in particular, too, has been so incredible and so emotional, and there's just so much more to come. Mm-hmm. But like Roni, obviously, it's like the veteran.
Right.
You know, compared to OC anyway.
I will say, though, I have been a Potomac fan since season one.
Oh, like, wow. Okay.
I loved Potomac. I've never not loved Potomac. I wish people got on the bandwagon earlier.
I know. Who's your favorite from Potomac?
Easy. Monique and Karen.
Okay. Monique and Karen. Mm-hmm. All right. What do you think of Katie?
Love Katie. Love these wigs. Those shake and goes are killing me. I love it.
So is Roni your number one top of the list?
Yes, and it used to be Beverly Hills, mm-hmm. But unfortunately for me, it just hasn't captured what Ronnie's been able to do.
Who do you think deserved to be in the hot seat the most, Luann or Ramona? Because those were the kind of two that this reunion's been focused on.
So Luann, she has had the most iconic evolution of a housewife, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, like starting, I literally was watching early seasons this on my plane ride here, and the part where she says, if you introduce me to a driver, it's Mrs. De Lesseps.
Yeah.
And then we have her in St. Bart's where she's bringing strange men over to the house and says, not really.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, that is two totally different Luanns.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Have you been to her cabaret show?
I did, and I got to go backstage and meet her.
Oh, my God, how fantastic. Yes. Isn't it so much fun?
Oh, it's so fun. It's even, like, the cabaret is amazing, but even just the atmosphere with all of the Bravo fans there, it's like your community,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Everyone gets it, and it's great.
I went to the taping of the finale, which was like one of the earlier shows or whatever, and it was just so much fun to be in the room because I sat at a table with no one I knew but other Bravo fans. It was actually like a couple couples, and the women were all like, oh my God, Bravo! And the men were like, why am I here? Why is there a $25 minimum?
Yeah.
But it was just so much fun to be in that room, and everyone was freaking out, and all the women were there filming. You know, it was just such a cool energy. And like, I have a theater background, so just being in that environment, being in, you know, 54 Below and seeing Luann up there, and then Sonia like shaking her ass and everything.
Was that when the dress came off too?
Yes.
Oh, Sonia is literally a national treasure.
She really is.
I just love her so much.
She is fantastic. Well, since you are a big Roni fan, we want to play a game with you.
I'm excited.
It's going to be called Name That Roni Housewife. I think you're going to do great.
I hope so.
So we're going to give you clues and you have to guess which Roni lady we're talking about. So this is going to include both current and past housewives.
Okay.
We're going to start off a little easy.
Perfect.
I have been a housewife for all 11 seasons. In the most recent season, I've been known to be a big flirt. Wherever I am, it's always turtle time.
Ramona Singer.
Ding, ding, ding. You got it. Okay, number two. This housewife runs with a fabulous circle of people. I own a fabulous Pomeranian named Miss Bossy. My late husband, Bobby, was loved by all.
That'll be Jill Zarin.
Absolutely. Who, like, really should have had more of a moment this season.
I was very bummed about
just
that.
Just a tennis match? That's all we get?
Well, yeah, and no one wanted to go to her birthday. Like, what the? That was so sad when that came out.
We were let down.
I know, I was so upset.
But we were delivered such a crazy, fantastic moment,
yes.
So it's fine. Okay, number three, I studied marketing at the Fashion Institute of Technology. I have one daughter named Quincy, and whatever you do, do not touch my letters.
That would be Miss Sonia Tremont Morgan.
Absolutely. Good job. Okay, here we go. We're going to get a little harder with these.
Okay.
I am known for being a hair removal guru. Ramona accused my brother of wearing a dead man's suit, and I can only be seen on season 4 of Roni.
Cindy Barshop.
There you go.
The vagina queen, bedazzler. I remember that.
The bedazzle queen.
And there's a pecking order, according to Sonia.
Right, right. Number five, I began my career at ABC. My first novel was inspired by a morbid situation. My late husband was former First Lady Lady Jacqueline Kennedy's nephew. And she also blocked you on Instagram, apparently.
That would be Carol Radziwill.
Okay, nice. Good job. Number six, I once had my own cashmere company. My current significant other is the go-to cleaner for Beyonce. And I'm completely over Giovanni.
That would be Miss Dorinda Medley.
Yes. Ding, ding, ding. Okay, one more. I was the founding director of design for Sean John's label. I currently have my own line of shapewear. Holla.
Heather Thompson.
Absolutely. Good job. Wow, this was like too easy for you. There is a game out too called Who's That Housewife? Have you played that yet?
I have it.
Oh my God, you have it?
I have it.
We need one for the studio here. We talked about it like earlier this week.
I'm friends with her. Yes, she's fantastic. Yes.
We need to get her on the podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh my God. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming in. This was so much fun.
I had a blast.
Thank you. Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
All right, what was your rose?
My rose comes from Southern Charm, and it is Cameron standing behind Matul and sniffing him.
Because you wished it was you?
Because I wish it was me, because I'm like, what does he smell like? And I just love this ongoing joke that they have where she's in love with him, and like Jason's there, and it's totally fine. Yeah. Which, Jason, by the way, maybe Jason should be my rose, because we never get to see him.
I know, that was pretty special.
But it's always going to be Matul over Jason. What was your rose?
Okay, well, I had two. We kind of touched on it, but Southern Charm. Craig, can you fuck off, please? But it was more so just Craig's reaction, like, oh, okay. Like,
right. Yeah, he was like, yeah, I can fuck off, yeah.
And from Real Housewives of Orange County, when Shannon's sitting with her daughter in the interview chair, and Shannon's like, you know, I trust Sophie's gut. Because you know, if you do drugs, you, and Sophie goes, I died. She goes, that's right, you die.
Life lessons so with Shannon Bedore. If you do drugs, you die.
If you do drugs,
you die.
You die.
What was your thorn?
My thorn was also from OC. Just the whole moment where Kelly says to Bronwyn, this chick's coming who I don't really like. And Bronwyn's like, oh, who? And she was like, her name's Vicky. And Bronwyn's like, oh.
This girl that I really don't like, she's coming.
Who?
Her name's Vicky.
Okay.
And it's like, Bronwyn, you know who Vicky is.
Right, exactly.
We all know who Vicky is.
Everybody knows Vicky Gunvalson.
Like, even if you've never watched Bravo, through osmosis, you know who Vicky Gunvalson is.
Yeah, I mean, nice try, Bronwyn.
Nice try.
But we see you.
What was your thorn?
My thorn comes from Below Deck Med, and it was Travis being completely wasted when they were at dinner in Monaco. And I get it, they have the day off, but I think we've seen some crazy behavior from Travis this season when it comes to drinking. And I just hate knowing that he was like that in public, that yeah. Like Hannah had to deal with it, that everyone at the table was sort of like...
That waitress had to deal with it.
Right. And it's like Monaco is like full of the richest people in the world. So like check your behavior before you go out in public.
Mm.
Travis. But we did see his butt in one of the B-roll footage. Mm. So that might be my other rose.
And next week we'll be talking to Tamra Judge from Real Housewives of Orange County.
Want more drama than The Real Housewives? Then go Inside Salem with the official podcast of Days of Our Lives. Join us for new episodes every other Monday as we take a look through the hourglass with show recaps, behind-the-scenes stories, and exclusive interviews with a cast of Days. Inside Salem has a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, so don't miss out. Be sure to listen and subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts.
7654321. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss me one more time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.